I know some devotees chanting japa for benefit for the parents or
chanting japa for the benefit of the parents.
Any spiritual thing for the benefit. It's in the shastra. It's the same.
Spiritual. Like they often say. Oh yeah, that's your question.
Yeah, and second part is. Some devotees, for the benefit of the parents, for example, they put the prasadam in front of the picture of the parents, which alive now. They not live, but is it actually in the shastra or not? It's or speculation.
I got it.
Able to feed the parents with prasadam.
First of all, the nature of transcendence, and it's tadiya. There's tadiya vastu, The transcendental reality and everything connected to the transcendental reality is in fact alokic, spiritual, infinite, eternal, and omnipotent. So that's why we say nam, rup, gun, lila, dam, parishishta, everything. The bhakti is transcendental. The practice of bhakti is transcendental. Bhagavan is transcendental. The dam is transcendental. Everything is transcendental. So as soon, like this is electric wire. I plug it in, I split the two. I have two copper or two aluminum wires. If I'm cheap, I got aluminum. So these two wires, anything that I touch these two wires to, it'll become electrified. I have some water and I put it in the water. And now this electricity enters the water and comes back to the other wire. Now this water, you touch the water, you're finished. Yeah? Understand? Electricity. Mizli. So now if I touch it, go like this, then you get burned up and die. You can die. All right. So this electricity power acts in so many modules or in so many ways if you touch it. So Krishna, Bhagavan, Vishnu, Ram, you touch them in any way. You touch a murti or you hear Ramchari. Now it's the time for this Navaratri and Ram Nomi and all these things. So anywhere, if you hear Ram Katha, that's touching Ram. If you see a murti, you're touching Ram. You say, hey Ram, Shri Ram, you're touching Ram. So now there's the spiritual substance, and then there's the human being who's also a spiritual substance. So anything you do in bhakti, your intention is to offer the results to someone else, because Bhagavan is controlling everything. So any result that we get anywhere, the results of karma, the results of jnana, the results of yoga, the results of bhakti, are coming from Krishna. So it's a very nice thing you said. It sounds very simple and childish, but it's so devotional and so compassionate. I never could even think of that other than in time of Petri or Shraddha or something like that. But it's very nice. First of all, any spiritual practice you do, if you take a sankalpa, with or without our basic sankalpa in most spiritual practices is Krishna, I'm chanting this mantra, I'm doing this puja, I'm doing anything I do to please you. Toshan. And because you say you're pleased in all these ways. I'm very pleased if you study Gita. I'm very pleased if you chant my name. I'm very pleased if you live in my dham. So many things. So because that's love. Love means to please the beloved, to make them happy, to make them satisfied, and help them in any possible way. So that's the principle of bhakti. So you're thinking just the fact, if you think of a saintly person, for example, if you think of a saintly person, Padma Puran says, just by thinking of that saintly person, one sixth, which is, you know, how they measure, that's an interesting question too. But anyway, the idea is that something's happening, basically. That's the point. One sixth of their punya and their spirituality will come into your bank account, will come into you. You'll get benefit. You just say, oh, Jai Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada, what a great saint, what a great soul. And you're seeing a picture or you see a murti and you think, oh, great. What a great soul, or Haridas Thakur, or anyone. Then all so much benefit. It's like a crystal. If there's a red object and it's next to a crystal, then the crystal reflects that radiance, that red aura, then a crystal looks red. You're looking, and if you go like this, put your hand over the red object, now the crystal is clear. Spotika, no spotik? Mm-hmm. Spotika crystal. So that color, we're seeing it because the color gives off an energy, and it's being reflected in all the facets of the crystal. So as soon as you radiate any spiritual energy, it becomes colored by Krishna. We're like the crystal, and Krishna is like the color. And so you have an intention, oh Krishna, please give some benefit to my parents. Just thinking of them, they get benefit, even without the japa. Because you're a devotee and you're thinking of Krishna. You're just praying. You can pray for them. Oh, Krishna, please bless my parents, living or dead. So that's that part. And the other part about doing the physical motion, you know, offering to a picture as if it's a murti or something, that's a very tender and touching expression of devotion. And surely Krishna will reciprocate with that innocent and simple and pure-hearted devotee that wants to benefit someone else, namely his immediate, his own beneficiaries, who are his parents, who have cared for him and nourished him or her and helped them all along their life, they may be alive. So it's a very sweet and a very much probably a feminine, probably some woman is doing that, and that's just because they have such soft hearts and sensitivity. And if you combine a soft heart and sensitivity and a soft heart of a woman with intelligence directed towards God, you have a winner. Yeah, if you use your intelligence, I don't mean you have to be Einstein, but you use your good intelligence and your sentiments and soft-heartedness that women possess, and direct it towards serving and remembering God, you'll make it. That's the advantage. Men are very hard-hearted and selfish and egoistic, and these are far away from bhakti, and they're not very pleasing to Krishna, because Krishna himself is very selfish and egoistic. So he doesn't want any competition. He said, wait a minute. I'm the boss here. You're all my servants. So the idea of bowing down to Krishna is hard. And I preached quite a bit in my life. And many men, usually men ask this question, why do we have to bow down to God? You know, he's in my heart. Why I come in this, why have to, why, they say bow down, obeisances or pranams. Why have to bow down? But hardly I've ever heard a woman ask this question. Indians won't ask that question, but Westerners will. You know, he's standing. Krishna's standing. Because I've been in the West, in America, and they walk in the temple. And sometimes you're taking tours, you're showing people temples. So usually it's our custom, you know, when we come in the temple, we have different temples and churches, they have different rules, covering your head or not, different things. So here we usually go like this, we bow down, and I'm not bowing down for some piece of marble. You know, it's a little, pinching on the ears, you know, for a devotee. But this is the kind of, there's lots of mentality like that out there. So I say, okay, but it's a nice thing. It's good exercise too. You know? So then you do, and then they just stand there and look at you. You know? Have you ever seen? I don't know how much you've done college preaching or bringing students to temples and stuff. So this is nice. I like it. I really like that. Devotee makes some bhog, offers the tathagraji. After offering the tathagraji, like it sounds like very much, probably the person was an Indian in his last life. Why is he living in Vrindavan? Because Indians do things like that, because they're very devotional, very caring for their ancestors. I mean, besides the official puja. So after, and the parents are alive and are in Russia or wherever they are, somewhere. So they make the offering, then they take the plate after Krishna enjoys it, then they put it in front and say, oh, Krishna, please, you know, oh, please give this, send this prasadam to my mother and father. They may not even be vegetarians or not even devotees, but such pure, selfless, loving thoughts, this attracts the heart of God. You know, if you call Shiva Bholanath, he's very simple. Bholanath means very simple and childlike. How childlike is Gopal? How simple is Gopal? Shiva's he's a big yogi. He's a pretty complicated, powerful person. Gopal, he's just playing in the mud. And just anybody can pick up Gopal and you can clap your hands and Gopal will dance for you. You say, Gopal, if you dance for us, and but you have to dance in such a way that your cute little waist belts and your cute little nupur, your ankle belts, say, I want you to, you have to dance so that you want, I want you to move your waist belts, and so they jingle, and your ankles too. If you dance, then we'll give you a ladu. Ocho, let me see the ladu. So then they have a little tiffin. See, oh, that's nice. So then the ladies, the Vrijabhasis, they start singing. Nanda de la la, Krishna gopala, nan. And then so Krishna's ching, 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 dancing. And then they say, oh, Lala's so nice, and the ladies are so happy and clapping. Then he for 1 or 2 minutes, then he says, okay. You know, so they give the ladu. So that is ultimate ati ati bolanath. So innocent, so simple. So such a practice is indeed a beautiful expression of the existence of bhakti. Such a action or such an expression directed towards other people, and all connected to Krishna and Krishna Prasadam, indicates that Bhakti Devi is living in the heart of that devotee. I don't know about me, but I know about Bhakti Devi. It's Radharani's expansion. I mean, Bhakti means Bhav. Bhav means Prem. Prem means Ladani. So Bhakti, what is Bhakti? Bhakti means pleasure, Alad. And the queen of pleasure, no one gives pleasure more than to Krishna than Radharani. So she's Ladini Shakti Mai Radharani. Ladini Shakti. And Bhakti, a devotee is not a fool. If someone recognizes God and submits his life to him, whether it's a simple Indian housewife or a simple Indian man working on the streets, he is the greatest of intelligent men. Says in Gita in 7th chapter, verse 19, Bahunam janmana mante gyanavan gyanavan mam prapadyante vasudevam savamati samahatma sadurlava. This little housewife, oh, do you know Sanskrit? No, I don't know Sanskrit. Do you have a college degree? No, I went 2 years to community college and I got married. I don't know. What do you know? Oh, I know Gopal. I know Gopal and I know how to make Gopal happy. I know how to please him. Then you are Gyanavan. You are Shastra Nipun. You're Chaturvedi. You're Shastra Nipun. You're Gyanavan. Gyanavan. Mam Prapadyante. Vasudeva Samavati. I don't know. All I know is Gopal is everything. Vasudeva is Gopal. Vasudeva Samavati. He's everything. Gyanavan Mam Prapadyante. This is 7th chapter of Gita. In the 5th chapter, he's talking about yoga. In the 6th chapter, he's talking about yoga and jnanis and all the meditation. So he's talking about jnana and karma yoga and jnana yoga in chapter 4, 5, and 6. And then he gets to chapter 7, and he says, oh yeah, actually, you know who's really a jnani? A little lady that worships Gopal. She's a jnani. This is the beauty of bhakti. Because bhakti is not only ladini, but knowledge. It's a fusion. It's a fusion of love and awareness. Because if you love God, that's the greatest love. And if you have the greatest love, you have the greatest awareness. And it's called self-realization. So this is the... you gave some very nice catalyst to bring out some nice thoughts, nice talks by your question. This is the true meaning of Gita, Chapter 10, verse 9, right? Matchita matkata pranas bodhayantas parantapra kata yantas chamam nityam tushanti cha ramanti cha. Then when people come together, devotees come together and talk kata, like you're speaking Hari Kata, then tushanti cha ramanti cha. When you're talking about toshani, every whole day is about santoshani. So they feel satisfaction and ramati. They feel great delight, feel great satisfaction, delight, happiness, and joy. Tushyanti cha ramanti cha. Ramante tu sakshat yogino ramante. It says that Rama, the meaning of Rama. It's like the yogis are aspiring for ramante, meaning bliss, pleasure. So we are yogis of devotion. Karma yoga, bhakti yoga, jnana yoga, ashtanga yoga. All yoga produces anand. But all yoga produces anand, paramanand, and brahmanand. Only bhakti produces premanand. Ananda Kanda Bhagavan ki jai.